Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends, to another episode of Everyday Truth. So glad that you decided to join in. Don't know if you're listening on the day or if you're just kind of binging some old episodes, but whatever brought you here today, we're glad that you're here, and we know that the Word of God never returns void. So looking forward to God doing something in our hearts as we dive into 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse number 5. Saul has been anointed by Samuel. He has left, or actually they're still in the conversation about when he leaves. And Samuel's told him some really incredible things. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Things that you just could never make up that are going to validate to Saul that God is in all of this. And then we left off last episode, and I promised you we'd come back to verse 5. So let's do that. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 5, where the Bible says, "After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines." You're going to come right into the enemy, near the enemy camp. "And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, tabret, pipe, harp before them, and they shall prophesy." So let's just stop there for a moment, John. We were talking a bit before the podcast about the different kinds of prophecy in the Old Testament. Give us a couple different ways by which people legitimately prophesied in the Old Testament.
You know, as you know, Pastor, often we find the word prophecy, prophesy, to be what we often think of, where people are foretelling what's God going to do. Like Samuel has just prophesied about what God is going to do in the life of Saul. The Saul makes his way back home. We also find it sometimes being used as the idea of foretelling the truth of God. Maybe not future events necessarily, but proclaiming what God wants to be proclaimed. And sometimes we find it, my mind goes to 1 Chronicles 25, verses 1 through 3, as it talks about the sons of Asaph and how they have all of these musical instruments and how they are prophesying before God. Well, we know that the sons of Asaph were those who led Israel in worship and in singing and praising God, so to speak. And so we can find even that idea where people are just praising God, you know, just rapturously from their heart because of how great God is. And so prophesy doesn't always mean necessarily telling the future, but always here in Scripture we find related to the service of God somehow in glorifying God, whether proclaiming, foretelling, or so on.
So whether it was praising or whether it was preaching or a combination of both, typically, groups of men that would travel in these bands were younger men in the days of Elijah and Elisha. They were the schools of the prophets. But these were people that had a special heart for God, a special heart for the Word of God, a special heart for worshiping God. And what we're going to find out as the passage unfolds is that Saul, up until this point in his life, would be the last person that people would have anticipated would ever be that guy. You know, there are certain kids that I know in my working with youth over these many years that you say, "Oh, that's the kid that's going to be in the teen choir. That's the kid that wants to, you know, go to Bible college. And that's the kid that is going to, you know, really serve God with his life in a vocational way." And then there's this other kid, and you're like, "I could never see that kid singing, not even in a song service. I could never see that kid going to a Bible college or having any kind of a devotional life." That was Saul.
Yeah, Saul was a guy who was not known for praising God, for really, you know, telling God's truth out. I mean, Saul did not even know what Samuel looked like, as we already know. He knew there was a Samuel, but what he looked like, I mean, who knew? Saul was not a man. His heart is going to be changed, we've read, and that was because he did not have a heart that was where it needed to be in glorifying God openly.
That's right. And how often in the Bible do you see this template? As the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, God delights in using these testimonies where you would say, there's no way that person ever would. The foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Even Paul himself, I was the chief of sinners. If God can use me, he can use anybody, because it's not our talent. It's not our pedigree in that sense. It's what God can do in the life of a man that will allow him to have ingress.
It is sad to see, going back to your illustration, Pastor, about youth groups and how you see some guy or some girl and say, wow, they're going to serve God a lot. They have a great testimony. And then some guy who you think is going to be a washout maybe, but as life goes on, it's the guy who you thought would never accomplish much who gives his heart to God. And this person who has so much potential, you know, they just decide they get prideful or whatever the case may be, and they go away from God. So you are exactly right that we cannot always tell what somebody will be like by looking at what they've been like.
Eliab looked so good to Samuel, but he cowered in the battle. David was dismissed by his father and others, and yet he was the one whom God used. To look at verse number 6, and this is the verse that I think really just unlocks the key to the way by which God wanted to, and for a time did use Saul, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. This is the promise from Samuel to Saul, and I love this, and thou shalt prophesy with them. You're going to meet this group of God lovers who are singing and preaching and loving and worshiping, and you're going to be in that choir. And no doubt Saul's thinking at this point in the conversation, there's no way. But watch what he says, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And that's really the key. The key is that God wants to reshape us. The New Testament language is we become new creatures.
There is so much in this verse here, Pastor. Talk about what the Spirit of God can do in the life of an individual. Go back to Saul, who was in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, how he was killing Christians, you know, arresting people, persecuting the church. And yet God worked in his heart. The Spirit of God changed him. And that's what the Spirit of God can do in our lives. He can work in our lives so that we will be the people who we ought to be. I think of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, what the Spirit wants to do in our life, the Spirit of God makes all the difference in the world, is he does what you talked about in taking the Word of God, working in our life, and conforming us to who we ought to be in Jesus Christ.
So in the Old Testament, I think most of you listeners know this, the Spirit of God did not indwell individual people, but the Spirit of God would come upon people for specific seasons, acts of service. The Spirit of God would come upon people. In the New Testament, the Spirit of God indwells the life of the believer at the moment of his salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20 make that very clear. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But just because the Spirit of God indwells us doesn't mean that we're controlled by him. And the Bible commands that believers are not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, we're to yield ourselves to the Spirit's control in our life by being saturated with God's Word, being attentive to how the Spirit of God brings the Word of God to bear in our lives. So I've said it this way, you have as much of the Holy Spirit as you will ever have if you're a believer. But does the Spirit of God have as much of you as he will ever have? Because really, in order for you to accomplish God's purposes, it must be the empowerment of the Spirit of God in your life.
You know, that reminds us that we cannot serve God apart from the Holy Spirit, that we've got to have the Spirit who empowers us. God does want us to yield to him. And you know, this is not new information probably to most of us here. We know it's not a knowledge problem typically. It is a yielding problem. It's a submission problem. And here, Samuel knows what Saul's going to face. He wants Saul to submit to what God has for him and to follow God and serve him.
I love the illustration that we just talked about a moment ago. Be not drunk with wine. Wine, when a person drinks it to excess, will cause him to behave in a way that he would not normally behave. So maybe here's a person that typically is a very good driver, but when it gets drunk, he's weaving all over the road. Here's a person that might normally be very quiet in his disposition, but he's drunk and he's loud and obnoxious. That wine is causing him to behave differently. And the illustration there's perfect. That is, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, God can help us to behave in a way that is out of character for us. He's going to help us positively to behave in a way that we typically would not behave. And that's what's going to happen here. Because no doubt Saul's thinking, as Samuel's saying, you're going to be one of these singers. You're going to be praising God. You're going to be on the worship team. And Saul's like, there's no way. But you can't, Saul, but another man can. And that's what Samuel's saying here is you can't, but another man can. You might be listening right now thinking, I could never get victory in my life over this besetting sin. No, you're right. You can't. Your flesh will fail you. It's not willpower that's going to carry the day, but another man can. And the Spirit of God can. The Spirit of Christ in you, the one that empowered the very Son of God, can empower you. That's the point.
I love how Jesus tells his disciples there in John 14 through 16, as he teaches them about the Holy Spirit and tell them, I'm going away. And, you know, that just makes them, I mean, Peter, John, these men are all just, you know, crestfallen. But he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to be with you. He's going to work in your life. And because of the Holy Spirit, you're going to do greater things what I've done even, because the Spirit will empower you. And that's what's going to happen in Saul's life. He was not known as being a guy who really, you know, was closely associated with worshiping God openly. And yet God's going to work in his life, and the Holy Spirit can change us in areas we need to be changed as we yield to him, as you mentioned, Pastor, and God can do a great work in our lives.
Samuel finishes the thought in verse 7 when he says, and let it be when these signs are come unto thee. All the things he's talked about, you're going to see this guy and they're going to tell you about the donkeys and these people are going to give you some bread and these prophets are going to come down and singing, you're going to join them. Okay, so when this happens, verse 7, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Just go with it, Saul. Just understand that this is part of God's plan. You can participate and you can know that this is a new era of God's presence in your life.
And I love how Samuel explains this to him. You know, God's going to be with you. You do as the occasion serves, as the occasion opens up, you follow God and serve God. There's great freedom in knowing that God is going to equip you in a way that you can go and follow God as God directs your thinking. You can do what's in your heart to serve God. You know, I think so often in independent Baptist, in my circles in the past, it was so much, you know, if you
mystical,
right. And this idea even, you know, well, God cares if you have McDonald's or Wendy's today. You got to do the exact will of God all the time. That's not what we see in Scripture.
No, love God, yield yourself to him to say, Lord, my heart is to follow you. My heart is to do what you want me to do. I say it this way. You want to know the will of God? Okay, read the Word of God. Love God and do what you want to do. Love God and do what you want to do. As long as you're staying informed by the Word of God, really, that's the way God wants us to live. Yes. As occasion serves thee. That's such a great point. Well, we're going to come back here next episode. We're going to jump into a few more instructions that Samuel gives Saul. And then we're going to see some amazing corporate things that happen. Both at the end of this chapter and into the next. So I want you to kind of hang in there, and we're not making quick progress, but I hope this is helpful, and I hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.